Today's episode is brought to you by my very first book that has just launched, Find Your Flow. Are you stuck in a perpetual cycle of repeating the same patterns over and over? Do you know there's more to life than just following what you should do? Do you feel foggy in your mind, uninspired by your life? Are you sick of being in survival mode? Let go of your addiction to friction and drama with this practical personal development guide to freeing yourself from limiting beliefs. Learn how to respond to life rather than react and move from surviving to thriving with me. I am so excited to release this book baby out into the world. Find Your Flow is available for pre-order now. Head to the show notes to grab your copy. Hi, I'm Emma Maidment and welcome to the Flow Lane podcast. This is the space to explore what it means to live a life in flow. Through honest conversations and storytelling, we'll explore how to move from friction to flow in all areas of life, covering things from health, well-being, spirituality, parenting, relationships, and so much more. This is a podcast to empower you to live fiercely from your heart so that you can create a powerfully aligned life in the flow lane. Let's flow to it. Hello, everybody, and welcome along to the Flow Lane podcast. I am your host, Emma Maidment. Today, I'm joined by Polly Harding, and Polly's going to share with you her journey of seemingly making it to the top of her career in broadcast radio and then turning it all down to go and live with her partner on a sheep farm, which I think is a really, really interesting example of what it means to live in alignment. Polly will share her story about kind of, I guess, that moment when she realized that life wasn't flowing for her and what she needed to do and the ultimately drastic changes she had to make to her life to end up in a place of flow and alignment with where she is now. So without further ado, let's get into the episode. As always, if you resonate with this, please share it. And if you would like to leave me a review and a rating, I would be more than grateful. Thank you so much. And let's get into the episode. Welcome to the podcast, Polly. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having me. Long time no talk.
I know, far out. So to give everyone a bit of context, Polly and I met through our mutual love of our acupuncturist, Dr. Abby. Mm-hmm. And I think I was having a session one day and Abby was like, you've got to meet Polly. Like, you two will just get along so well. And I was like, who's Polly? And like, look, I'll be honest, I'm not really someone that listens to the radio. So I was like, she's like, oh, she's on a radio show. I'm like, oh, that's cool. I don't really know what that is. And so I looked her up on Instagram. I'm like, oh, yeah, she seems cool. And then somehow we ended up on a girls' weekend away together sharing a bed.
That's right. And we're at a dinner party doing headstands. And I was like, you know what? This gal and I are going to get on just great.
Yes. Kind of fast-tracked the friendship to bed sharing and headstanding and bonded over our love of crystals and the CoStar app.
Yes.
And here we are. Huge, huge transitions for you, my friend, over the last 18 months. So for those of you that don't know, I guess Polly was kind of what we would, in our more Western conventional culture, see as at the pinnacle point of her career. I mean, you're very young. I don't know if you want to share how old you are, but you're young.
Yeah, I'm 30 at 31.
31.
I had my 31st birthday in August. Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Still feel like 27, but... You know, I feel like we always have that age that you feel like you never really
You just want to stay in the 27 club. Like, yeah. Once you get over the 27 club, you kind of like, okay, cool, I'm not one of those people. I'm going to be okay.
Yeah. I survived.
You survived. So 31, I mean, I don't know. I feel like when I look at people that get to that level of radio, doing the morning show, you know, doing the TV stuff, I'm generalizing, but they're usually a little bit older. Would you say that's like a thing?
I guess so. It all did happen pretty young. And I suppose normally people on breakfast shows, I don't know, I think of them with kids and lots of life experience. And I went in to doing the Melbourne Breakfast Show at 28, I think. No. Oh, no, 27. I was 27 when I started. So I guess you could say that was young. But it kind of all just happened really, really quickly. And the whole experience is surreal. I was actually kind of reflecting on it the other day at the end of 2017 when we got the call up to go from New Zealand to Australia. And, you know, at the time it was like, what have we got to lose? Mm-hmm. Like, not, you know, I never ever thought I'd be in that situation where I'd get to go over to the big bad world of, you know, Australian media. And it was just an absolute whirlwind.
So you were like kind of a big deal in New Zealand.
Don't say that.
That's how I described it. So our acupuncturist is also from New Zealand. So she's like, oh yeah, she's like a huge deal in New Zealand. I'm like, oh, cool.
No, I guess we were doing the drive show on a radio station here in New Zealand, which, you know, broadcast to the whole of New Zealand. And I think we were getting a bit of traction, particularly in 2017, and that's maybe why we got the call up to go to Australia. So that was, you know, just as you're starting to see success in one country and with your audience, it's like, oh, do we take a leap?
Are they going to like me?
Yeah. And do we leave this? Like, are we going to screw everything up? Are we going to, you know, ruin everything that we've kind of worked towards? But it ended up being the biggest learning experience. And I just feel like our show kind of elevated and escalated once we got to Australia.
So you're in flow, really, like it just kind of it flowed that way. Like someone rings you up and gives you this opportunity. It's all seemingly out of nowhere.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you kind of, you don't know where it's going, right? But you jump in that flow lane and you're like, let's see where this goes.
See what happens. And so prior to that, you'd met your current partner. Is that right?
Co-host?
No. Your
love partner.
For sure. Well, like.
It was kind of like I had two husbands for a while. Like, James is literally like my radio husband.
Yeah.
So I met BJ, my now fiancé. Oh, my gosh. Honestly, the timing in was hilarious. So I just got over to Melbourne at the end of 2017. I'd gone and set up the new place I was living in, Richmond. And I was so ready for like a brand new job and everything. And then we come back to New Zealand for Christmas and New Year's. I was like, cool, one last hurrah with my mates before I go over and start this new gig. No boys, no nothing. Like, normally if I was single and I was going to New Year's, I'd want to suss out exactly who was there, who was single, like, who was I going to bash?
Yeah, where's my midnight kiss coming from?
Yeah. But I was like, nah, this is just one of the girls' trips, you know, like, it's going to be great. Anyway, get down there, and on the first night, we went to this like lakeside party, and my best friend was like, "Oh, that guy's staring at your bum," and I was like, "What?" And all of a sudden, I was like, "Keen on boys."
Give me a bit of attention. I'll take it. I'll run with it.
Long story short, yeah, we met at New Year's, and we talked every day since, and did long distance for 3 years. As I started my brand new job.
So obviously that wasn't part of your plan.
No.
But I do know that you're someone that really believes in the power of manifestation. Yes. Had you been manifesting a partner? Like, was it kind of something that you thought maybe might happen on that Melbourne journey, or is it something that you just didn't have on your radar for now?
I mean, I think I've always been like, up until then, obviously I was dreaming of a partner one day, but I didn't know how that was going to look. And I certainly did not think it was going to come in the form of a Kiwi guy. I was maybe thinking, oh, like some hot Australian guy, you know, like maybe a muso or someone really cultural. And then I literally manifested this guy in a singlet with big muscles, and he's a sheep farmer, and it literally could not have been further away from what I guess I had thought up in my head was what I needed. Turns out it was the total opposite.
And did you resist it for a while at the beginning?
No, I actually don't think I did. I think from the get-go, I was like, well, this isn't ideal. And my mum actually told me the other day, I came back from the trip, and I think I told her after like 3 days, I was like, I think I've met the one, mum.
Wow. You knew. When you know, you know.
Oh, so inconvenient. But it was
the best thing
for me.
Love of your life's on a sheep farm in New Zealand, and you're over in Melbourne kicking career goals.
Well, yeah. And I think, you know, he was an absolute blessing that I didn't probably realise at the beginning, because he was that sense of normality, and he was like this grounding pad and this really probably abnormal lifestyle. Like, let's be honest, you know. There's billboards of you. You're getting up and sharing your life on the radio every single morning, giving away thousands of dollars, meeting celebrities. Like, it's not a normal life. And I honestly think he kept me sane during that period and was that kind of retreat from this wild life, you know?
Well, it's pretty much the exact opposite.
glamorous
parties and makeup artists and celebrities.
Yeah. Exactly.
Wow. Okay. So, you know, I met you when you were in Melbourne, kind of, you know, at that point where you're doing the Jason PJ show, killing it. You guys were doing all sorts of fun stuff. And how long did you do that show for with Jace in Melbourne?
So in Melbourne, we did it for 2018, 2019, 2020. Oh my gosh, what are we this year? 2021.
Almost 2022, which is insane.
Oh my God. About 3.5 years we did that show in like Melbourne for the breakfast show, but prior to that we did a show in New Zealand for 3 years.
Right. So it's been a while that you've been working in broadcast. And I remember you and I were walking along the lighthouse here in Byron Bay, just living our best influencer lives.
Oh my God, look at us.
And you know, we were talking about, and you're kind of saying, you're like, I've gotten to that point where it's like, where do I go from here? Like what's the growth? And I think that's really interesting when, from a young age, and I think this is what we were kind of talking about, we were saying, you know, from a young age, you've gotten to that point where you're like, huh, what's really important here? What am I actually striving towards? What are my goals? And where does this go? You know, do you remember that conversation?
Oh, 100%. No, I definitely do. And I think everything was put under the magnifying glass in 2020. Like,
yeah.
If everybody has been forced to look at their shadow side.
Yeah.
And really ask themselves, you know, what matters and what are you prioritizing and what does that heart want and what is the soul nudging towards? And I think I started getting really strong nudges that I just couldn't push away.
And what? How did that come up for you? What did that present itself as?
Yeah, just knowing that I was in a state of discomfort. I didn't feel aligned, even though on the surface everything was, you know, incredible. You know, dream job, dream colleagues, amazing little townhouse in Melbourne.
Like you're doing boxing things.
Yeah. And on the surface looked amazing, but in my heart, I think with this incredible lifestyle, I started craving simplicity and I started craving you know, the simple things and what really mattered to me was family and being close to them and being in nature. And like, I just started having this pull towards all these things that I couldn't turn away from.
And so how long did you ignore that? Today's episode is brought to you by my very first book that has just launched, Find Your Flow. Are you stuck in a perpetual cycle of repeating the same patterns over and over? Do you know there's more to life than just following what you should do? Do you feel foggy in your mind, uninspired by your life? Are you sick of being in survival mode? Let go of your addiction to friction and drama with this practical personal development guide to freeing yourself from limiting beliefs. Learn how to respond to life rather than react and move from surviving to thriving with me. I am so excited to release this book baby out into the world. Find Your Flow is available for pre-order now. Head to the show notes to grab your copy. Because I think for a lot of people, when it comes up, it's like you suppress it. Like, I kind of feel it rising, but you start to get back in your head a little bit more of rationalizing, like, no, but I'm killing it and da 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 da. And you almost like trying to logic your way out of what the heart's really calling for.
Yeah, and I think it can kind of hide itself away from those highs that you get from that quick lifestyle, right? And the ego being fed. And, you know, I think that was probably what did suppress it for a long time. But when we're in lockdown and we're being forced to really assess what matters and you don't have all the fancy things, you don't get all that stuff because you're literally stuck at home being forced to look at what matters to you, that's when I couldn't really turn away anymore. And I think obviously I couldn't get home, you know, and I was like, well, hang on, what is the most important thing to me right now? And at the time, the prospect, the thought of walking away from that job was terrifying. Because our show was thriving. It really was thriving. But there was something inside me that I knew that my soul was just going to ache and ache and ache and become more and more detached.
Oh, I've got full goosebumps. Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
I know. I had the same thing when I was working in PR. And I guess if I had described to my uni friends and stuff at the time what I was doing at such a young age, it's like, wow, it's amazing. You're traveling the world and you're doing all these things as part of your job. And that's so cool. And I was like so out of alignment that it's, you know, but and you suppress it. You do. You really try and just like keep swallowing the pill for as long as you can.
But you do. And that adrenaline and, you know.
Yeah, the fast pace
you get from things and the likes on Instagram and all that kind of stuff, which isn't actually serving you on a deeper level, only lasts for so long.
Yeah. And I mean, you're a Leo, so you love that stuff.
I know, right? It's my weakness. Like, you built me up. You did that head going. And, yeah, like, I'm in. But I just, yeah, I had to have some pretty deep chats with myself. And obviously, things were intensified because my father passed away in 2019. Mm. So that really, I was going through my Saturn return from, I think it was the end of 2018. Now, if anyone doesn't know what a Saturn return is, it's like this fucked time in your life. At the end of your 20s, where you're essentially officially becoming an adult and you get all these challenges thrown your way. And I think it does realign your priorities and your purpose and everything.
I finished my Saturn return with a baby, so I get it.
Okay, I thought I'd finished my Saturn return the other day and I was told that I've still got a few more years. But I don't know if that's right.
Well, I had an astrology reading and mine, funnily enough, the day that it ended was actually the day that River was born, and he was born like almost 2 weeks after his due date. So we're like,
oh my gosh.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm happy about that, but definitely the challenges don't stop coming once Saturn returns.
I know. And you're like, epic, I've got through. And isn't that just life? You're like,
and then you're like, oh great, now I'm a mum, and like shit just got really real.
It's just life to a T.
Yeah.
You think, oh my God, once you get through this, it's going to be great. And then it will present another challenge. Yeah. And that's what it's all about. It's about.
And I mean, losing a parent is far out. I remember that period of time for you. Like, and I know that, you know, you've spoken a little bit about, so your mum, who I've met, she's a superstar. She's a doctor, but she's also a very, very holistic person, you know. I remember you telling me like, oh yeah, mum would be like into this water filter and this light therapy and like all these kinds of things.
Oh yeah, she was doing it before it was mainstream, man. But she was also a doctor for like 40 plus years, like a registered GP, so as woo-woo as she is, she's actually got a lot of science and brains behind her. So
well, I mean, I'm all for that stuff, so
yeah.
But so she really, you know, worked with your dad and gave you a better quality of life and, you know, much longer life. I remember you telling me that. But what does that feel like as well? I know we're sidetracking a little bit, but you know, to see someone you love, you know, to see all that stuff work, but then to go through that huge transition of saying goodbye, you know, do you still feel on a soul level, like, are you still connected to your dad? Do you still feel him around?
100%. But it's really strange because there'll be times, and I wonder if this is a coping mechanism, where it almost just doesn't even feel like anything's happened. And it's almost like you're kind of just going through your day-to-day life in a kind of numb way. And I wonder if that is just the coping mechanism that your body or your mind or whatever just does. But then there are days where it's like, oh, I can hear his words, I can feel his presence around me, I think of how he'd react. I literally found a card, a birthday card that he wrote for me, and I think it was when he was maybe in his final year or two, and oh my God, I just read it and I just bawled like a baby. And that is the thing with grief, it's not linear, it's, you know, constantly moving and changing with life. And when you think that you're coming through a period where it feels easier, there'll be something that will grab you. But at the same time, it's beautiful. And to me, it's a showcase of the beautiful relationship that we had together and the love that we had. Like, that's exactly what grief is.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, I think it has such a negative connotation. And don't get me wrong, it's hard, but at the same time, I think it's equally beautiful.
Well, it's almost like, you know, you see the shadow side, the darker side, the more challenging side, to then really magnify those beautiful moments and to, it's like one can't exist without the other.
Exactly.
We always talk about, we love this idea of like, we're all one and it's all love, but like ultimately.
But it's not.
We have polarity, and we have to have polarity to, you know, love has to separate from itself to experience itself. And that is multifaceted and nonlinear and all over the place. And it kind of sounds like almost that experience, you know, of losing your dad as well was a pivotal moment to, you know, to kind of almost like re-guide you down that path of like what's really important, you know, your family, you know, seeing your mom, seeing, and then obviously COVID happens and suddenly you can't go home and do those things.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I think because he had been, I mean, he got diagnosed when I was about 14. He initially, as you said, he was given a short time to live. They gave him 2 to 5 years. My mum was like, screw that. He ended up living about 14, 15 years.
Wow.
But I suppose in the back of my mind for a long time, you know, I was always worried about dad dying. And that was a big part of my existence, you know, and a lot of my anxiety was stemmed from that. And I think when dad actually did pass, as awful and as hard and as challenging as it was also like, oh my God, I'm still here. I actually survived this. And I think it almost gave me a strength, realizing that I could get through that. And I, you know, everyone's strength is so different. And, you know, I just feel like maybe mine was a slower burn over years, and I'd cried so much. I had released so many emotions over the years that when finally he did pass, it was like, dad's not in pain anymore.
Yeah.
And wow. It was this kind of giant relief at the same time, you know?
Yeah.
Knowing that.
And was there a knowing within you of like his soul journey is done and he's ready to go?
Yeah, I think so. I think, yeah. No, and just the, you know, seeing someone in that amount of pain, knowing that that's not really them, is just really hard to watch. And so once he was out of that state, it was a weight off.
Yeah.
As hard as it was. And yeah, it was really interesting how strength came through that, you know. I was like, I can still survive. Dad is around me. Dad is part of me. Dad is with me, and he will always continue to be a part of my life. And so, yeah, it's really interesting, the things you learn along the way.
Oh, totally. And I think it really shows you like the tenacity of the human spirit to be able to keep going in those hard moments. And when you're pushed, I almost feel like you get a big upgrade.
A force to grow. Yes, 100%.
Yeah, huge upgrades happen. So
every time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's. I didn't think we were gonna go there, but we did.
Thanks for sharing. Sorry.
And vulnerable. No, I took you there. So kind of fast forwarding then, you know, so you've had this huge life event happen, you've got your partner on the other side of the world, and then there you are sitting in isolation, you've got a cat. Josephine, Jojo.
Bless it. Yeah, Josephine. Oh my Josephine. God, funny, you're gonna crack up. So the other day, because we got a new dog, Fig, and Jojo kept disappearing and going away. And so I reached out to this pet psychic I met in Melbourne. And I was like, is she okay? And she was like, yeah, look, she's like a little bit, you know, unsettled from the new arrival of the dog. And she'd also really appreciate if you call her Josephine, not Jojo.
I love that.
I died.
I'm so into it.
Like the definition of a madam.
I mean, seeing the cat on Instagram, I feel like that kind of makes sense.
Oh, she's such a princess.
And have you noticed a difference since you started calling her Josephine?
Well, I thought it would be really obvious, but to be honest, it's neither here nor there. Like, I think she responds to both, so I don't know how valid that statement was.
Oh, classic. So here you are in lockdown, you've got your cat, you've got all the things, and then at what moment was that, like, you know, so fun fact, you learned to meditate with me.
Thank you.
When we meditate, the technique that we practice, you know, we transcend into this deep place of being, and we access this inner knowing, this inner intelligence of the universe. And I also personally feel like, not claiming credit for it, but that when you meditate and you access that place inside of yourself, you actually can't ignore the calling of your heart and your soul, because you're going into that space every day. You're accessing like the intelligence of the universe, and then you're living your life actively ignoring it. And there's this saying in the Vedic tradition that you can't ignore what you know.
Yes.
And I think, you know, the more that you meditate, the more you do these kinds of things, you can't ignore it. So what was it
That's
like
what
you
causes know? Sickness, right? Like
100%.
Who ignores that, that is disease, and that is where a lot of
it manifests,
people get really unwell.
Yep. Yeah, it manifests as disease in the body, relationship, all those kinds of things fall apart. And so, you know, what was it like for you that moment that, because I, you know, I know that we'd had conversations leading up where you were like, oh, this, I'm kind of feeling like, you know, maybe in the next couple of years I'll transition back to the, you know, it was a little bit of a way. And then it was seemingly like you made the decision, and then boom, you're in hotel quarantine and see you later.
Yeah.
What was that like?
Terrifying. Really freaking terrifying, as I was saying, like walking away from that epic, you know, job of a lifetime.
Did you have a lot of and people saying like, what the hell are you doing?
Yes, but at the same time, I think because I'd shared my experience and people knew that BJ wasn't there, and then knew what had happened with Dad, I think people were a bit more understanding, but also still probably like, I'm sure there was a lot of judgment around, like, what the fuck is she doing? Like, really? She's just going to throw her career in for a man? Oh, she's going to regret what she's done. And I mean, like, there was probably a lot of that, and doing it was really scary. And you know what? It was a process over quite a few months, because not only was I stepping away from the job, but I was stepping away from my partnership. So Jason and I were really, really close. You know, it was really a work marriage, and we had so many conversations. I was like, I feel like a terrible person, but I'm going to feel more terrible if I stay in this and am not aligned to it, because we loved our show so much and we put everything into it, but I never wanted to be in a place where I wasn't giving it my all and was just dying on a daily basis. I would rather go out on a high than have a slow burn. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And start to completely, completely resent it. I never ever wanted to go out resenting it. So,
you know, if you're working in a partnership like that, your career moves affect his.
Yes, and that was playing on my mind for massive time.
And you are a bit of a people pleaser.
Oh my god, such a people pleaser! And I think through this process, it taught me the power of standing up for what you want. You know, whereas really, I've always been like, yeah, that's fine, I'll do that, of course. But this was like, I'm making this decision. I know that in turn this is going to affect other people, and it's freaking hard. And I've always just wanted to please others. So that was a real growth patch.
Yes, another Saturn return lesson.
Oh, yep. But in the end, you know, it felt like the right thing to do. And I always like to follow what feels good.
And did you get that kind of inner knowing, like you just knew you were making the right decision?
Yeah.
I feel like when you make those decisions in accordance with the flow of the universe, it's like trying to flow through you. And then when you step back into the river and it flows, you're like,
this is what it's about.
Yes.
Well, okay. So like when I did that and I came back and, you know, we were going to live on the cottage or whatever. And I just finished the job, I was about to finish the job, and this dream property came up. It was like, okay, you close one door, and I believe it always opens the door to at least something else.
Yeah.
And just the divine timing of this property coming up, I was like, oh, hello, universe. It is really nice to be conversing with you right now, because this is freaking insane. And you've literally just delivered this property, which I could have only dreamed of my whole life. Like, I've always wanted to run a retreat. And this place came up, and I was like, okay, well, I need this. I need this now.
I'm slow. Here we go.
Yeah. And that was a really, really challenging process to get just for a number of reasons. Like, first of all, coming out of a job and trying to get a mortgage. Holy shit.
We employed well.
Kind of. And so I had to, like, yeah. Anyway, that was very challenging, but I knew that it was mine. And it was almost like, okay, I'm going to make you work for this.
Yeah.
This is what the universe
How much do you really want it?
Exactly. Exactly.
And I think that we're constantly confronted with that in life. It's like, you know, I think a lot of people, when they think about living in flow, they're like, oh, these people have it so easy and things are just handed to them. And it's not like that. Like, you really, you're doing the work and you're constantly being questioned, like, how much do you want it? How much do you really want it? Are you going to keep falling back into old patterns?
Constant leveling up, and it's not comfortable. But you get rewarded when you take the leap, I believe. Yeah. When you jump into the unknown.
Growth lives in that unknown area. You know, like, we can repeat the ever-repeating known. Like, you could have stayed in your radio job and still been in Melbourne and, you know, kind of doing the same things and been, you know, happy on some level, but there would have been that part of you that would have started to decay over time because nature's going, hey, I want you to be here. I want you to be here. I want you to be here. And you're like, no, shush, 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 shush. And now here you are. And then it's like, hey, cool. I want you to be here, but do you really want to be here? And then, are you sure you really want to be here? And then, like, are you really sure? And then, boom, here you are.
Yeah, so I guess people ask that question, like, how do you know? How do you know? And I suppose as a meditation teacher, you would have the best advice there. Like, would you say meditate or would you say get
quiet? You just know, you know, like,
yeah.
The more in touch you are with yourself. So, I mean, obviously I'm going to say meditate, but for my own experience through meditating, accessing that place of being every day, it connects you with the innate intelligence, right? So the more that you access it, the easier it is for it to flow through you. And I think you're constantly ignoring your inner world and you're just living in that exterior lane and you're just chasing the ego and chasing the, you know, the quick highs. I mean, ultimately that all comes crashing down at some point. Most people have a midlife crisis, or at some point in their life, it's like they look back on their deathbed and they're like, oh shit, that all that stuff I did actually means nothing.
Nothing.
Wish I had have done X, Y, Z, you know? And so the more that we access that space inside of ourselves, the more that we live in alignment with, you know, what we call our dharma or our purpose, you know, what we're actually here to contribute to the evolution of the world.
Because I'm thinking about, actually, you and I, we made quite bold moves around a similar time. Like, you kind of packed up your life and Mel's, went to Byron Bay. And you don't really know what's around the corner, but you just trust that it's going to work out, right?
And you just, like, the more that you, I feel like for me, the more that I've meditated and the more that I've followed the knowing, the easier it gets. So the fear subsides more when you're like, okay, I know, I just have a knowing that this, it's going to be okay. And you have to really be okay with the fact that you actually don't know how it's going to play out. And I think my approach to, like, goal setting and all that kind of stuff is just non-rigid attachment to outcome. So, you know, it's like you knew you wanted to have this retreat space and whatever one day, but you weren't really sure exactly how, and then, like, oh, there we go. And then you actually have to do the work to get it. It's not like someone just shows up and goes, here's the deeds to this place, you know.
No, exactly.
But you keep stepping into alignment and you keep being, you know, guided. It's not even necessarily a reward system. It is what it is. You're just being guided towards what it is that you're meant to be doing.
And I think the way that society is turned down nowadays, we're not listening like we used to, you know. There's just so much noise everywhere that's detached us from our inner knowing. It's like everything, we're so pushed to follow that external, you know. What are you getting on the outside?
Yeah.
That voice has just been muted.
What do you do other than obviously meditate? Oh, I don't know. Are you still meditating?
I did today and I fell asleep. But it's sort of all over the shop. But actually at the moment, my therapy is journaling. Like, I know a lot of people recommend journaling, but for me right now, because I've just had overwhelming emotions with everything going on in the world, that I find, you know, running really good as well. I find running a really good way of getting back into my body, but journaling has just helped me make sense of my thoughts and the overwhelming emotions and kind of just giving it a bit more clarity.
Do you do, like, stream of consciousness journaling, or do you do
Yeah, I do stream of consciousness. I sometimes do prompts, like if it's a new moon or full moon, because mm-hmm. there's a couple of accounts I follow on Instagram and they give good prompts, but often I'm just a stream of consciousness and it's just blah.
You read back home,
like, you know, not all the time. Sometimes I actually posted one on my Instagram the other night. I just had this real urge and I would never do that, but it was a full moon and I just got out like the core of my emotion. And then I was like, actually, this might help some people.
Yeah.
Like I feel like a lot of people.
Right.
And I just had this urge to write it. And then I was so fucking nervous when I posted it because I don't know, like I haven't really shared much of my writing or, you know, more serious side. And I was like, how's this gonna go? And so many people resonated.
Yeah.
Who probably aren't even thinking how I'm thinking, but I just feel like there's such a mutual feeling of emotion around the world right now. People are scared, people are frustrated, people are worried, you know? And I just think at the end of the day, we're actually all feeling the same.
Yeah. Well, we're all connected through that, through the oneness of it all. We're all just different parts of that oneness, having different experiences with different opinions. But yeah, I did put that up and I thought, oh, it's interesting. Cause I mean, knowing you and having the conversations that we have, I wouldn't say that you're a different person to your Instagram, how you show up online. It's just that, you know, we show certain parts of ourselves.
Exactly. And now I think I heard a really good podcast with Peter Kelly the other day. Love her.
Love her.
And there's so much pressure to post our most vulnerable online because, you know, it has become like a highlights reel, but at the end of the day you don't have to do that either. And I think like it's kind of become trendy to show your vulnerability and you're crying in a room, but at the end of the day you are curating your own page.
It's kind of contrived as well.
And it's it's quite interesting because I think, you know, on one end of the spectrum it is really dangerous that it's these unattainable lifestyles and whatever, but then it goes the other way and it's like you must show all of yourself. It's like, actually, no, I want to keep those vulnerable parts to me.
You're inauthentic, you don't care everything.
And that's okay. Yeah, you can't live.
Yeah, I know. So, and that would have been something that I guess you would be confronted with throughout your career because, you know, radio, I mean, you are keeping it light and fun, but, you know, you did share a lot of your personal stuff and stories. And, you know, I know when your dad passed, you talked about that a lot. Like, I think there's a really fine line between kind of getting that vulnerability hangover and being like, ooh, that was maybe a bit much of a share, and then sharing things that genuinely are like coming from a vulnerable place but that have the intention of really helping and serving others.
Yes.
And I don't know, that's the filter that I usually run it through. Like, am I just sharing this because I want to seem relatable or I want to like be on trend with what's being vulnerable, blah, 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 or is this coming from a place that I feel it's like genuinely of service?
Yeah,
generally, you know, and I think that post that you put up, I might put it in the show notes so that everyone knows what we're talking about.
Oh no! I think a lot of people are lost right now.
Yeah,
everyone's so lost. So many people,
as someone that's, I mean, maybe you weren't necessarily lost, but you were living out of alignment for a while. Like, what would you say to someone who's like, I don't know what to do, I feel lost. Like, what are your things?
First of all, don't be so hard on yourself. Like, I think we're just so critical of ourselves. We're like, I need my shit together. Like, what's wrong with me? Like, I'm this age and I actually have this down and why am I feeling like this? First of all, drop that judgment. Second of all, what is it nudging you towards? What are you actually feeling uncomfortable about? Write it down. Try and like actually articulate why you are feeling that way, because as you said before, like there is something out of alignment there. There's something that's not serving you. Follow that and then work out where it's leading you to. And I don't think you have to have the answer, but just follow those emotions and see where it takes you. And you don't have to have all the answers at once. Like, you don't.
Get
you
some
don't have to know. A
few like oracle cards.
Exactly. Exactly. But I just think, drop that judgment and critical feedback.
And I always feel like the universe has kind of forced a lot of people's hand in that, because for most people, you know, career progression based on their age and those kinds of things hasn't been possible because of the world that we're living in, you know.
Yeah.
Travel and these like gap years and all these rites of passage that, you know, were such a big part of almost like of the old world weren't you know, necessarily a part of the last 18 months. And so I think, you know, like what you've experienced, I think a lot of people are experiencing that of suddenly the glamour and the glitz and the progression that they had suddenly disappears. And then it's kind of like, yeah, those,
you know, who am I?
Who am I? Yeah. Who am I without all this stuff? And I think that's where the hope for me comes from in these times, is that it does really force people to look inwards and to potentially make some shifts. You know, I remember at the very, very beginning of lockdowns, we were still living in Melbourne at that time, and walking through a park and seeing all the dads with kids. Yes. And I went through that park every day, and I always saw, like, you know, the mums and the bubs kind of thing. And it was like, it was striking to me, like, how many actual families there were out. And I was like, that's cool.
This is nice.
Yeah. Like, obviously there's been some not so great stuff that's happened over the past 18 months, and things have maybe gone on, and we're not going to go into that.
Yeah.
But there's always elements within that that we can take and apply to our life, so that, you know, because fulfillment doesn't live in an Instagram like. And I think if you get attached to that, because Instagram goes down, then what do you have?
Yeah.
Your whole world unravels.
Well, that was kind of another, you know, thing that I kind of thought about a lot, was a big part of my confidence was, I guess, a result of likes and comments on our videos for our page. And, you know, that was what was giving me that validation on a daily basis. And it was not normal. And
I think
so,
it's quite normal. Like, I think a lot of people experience that.
No, I know. But what I mean is, like, the level that this was on, you know, you're constantly putting yourself out there in the radio show that we're doing, and you get feedback, and then that kind of deciphers how good a job you did.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
People are like, that was a total flop, you suck, and I'm going to tell you how much I hate you because it's the internet.
So it's like so much external validation.
Yeah.
And I wanted to really remove myself from that. And, like, I've gone to the opposite. Like, I'm literally just doing sweet FA at the moment. And I'm in the middle of nowhere. And I do have days where I'm like, who the fuck am I? You know? And
only the sheep farmer.
but I think that's really good to get lost as well.
Yeah.
Like, I actually think it's good to put yourself in those situations where you kind of feel like you have to build back up.
Well, I think it shows that, you know, that exterior stuff doesn't define who you are.
No.
Whether you're Polly the radio host going to all the celebrity events, or whether you're Polly the sheep farmer's future wife living middle of freaking nowhere, it's still you.
Right.
Your essence is you, and you've got to be okay with that regardless of the setting.
Yeah. Yeah, it's I've definitely had some dark moments, like, you know, going, oh my God, I'm so shit now, you know, I'm so useless. Oh, I couldn't do that anymore. And I actually chatted to a friend who'd done a similar thing, and she'd left a radio job after about 10 years. And she said it's like a grieving process. It's like you're grieving an old part of yourself.
Yeah.
And so that's been quite interesting to navigate. And I still think I go through that, you know, because but part of you is this persona that is probably a hyped up version of me, but then when you come back to actually living your daily life, you're kind of like, oh, is that real? Like, do you know what I mean?
Should I do that?
Yeah. Who am I?
Yep, totally. And I think I think it's just really beautiful to see that progression, because I think regardless of, you know, whether people are in that rate, whatever their equivalent is of that radio presenter thing, you know, it's so prevalent to ask those deeper questions of, like, who am I? What am I? What the hell is the point of all of this? And do I feel like this is really contributing to it? Because for some people, like, you know, that could be their dharma, to keep going down that road.
Exactly.
Impacting people in that way. But if it's not, then it's not. And when the knowingness kind of knocks, you got to listen.
Yeah, 100%.
So what are you doing now?
Well, that's a great question. Obviously, this place came up, and that threw a curveball. Oh, it's better in the works, because I just really wanted to ground here, to be honest. I just am being. And there was a project which was supposed to happen, which ended up getting postponed because of COVID. And essentially, I'm just kind of like, yep, that's going to happen soon.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, I'm planting vegetables. I want to become as self-sustainable as possible here. Like,
beautiful.
I've I really just, you know, if the world goes to shit and we can't go to the supermarket or go to the, you know, I think over the last year, that's one thing that I've really wanted to do is have everything you can have here and start a great community. And yeah, I think I'm literally grounding and it's weird. And people are like, what are you doing now? And I'm like, I promise I'm doing stuff. And like, I have got a few things which kind of in the works, but I'm just still in this transition period, transition and grounding.
But isn't it beautiful, you know, what you said before is like, you're like, I'm just being. And it's funny how, you know, I'm even hearing in your voice, it's almost like there's a little bit of justifying why you are just being. And it's so interesting because the conditioning is just that, like,
huge.
You say, what are you doing? You can't say just being. Like, you know, I can't just say, oh, I'm just being a mum. Or I'm
I know. I've been thinking about the parallels. I've been thinking about the parallels between new mums and jobs and stuff like that, and like coming off the back of a job, and then it's like, you have a baby, when's your next one? Okay, you finish your job, what are you doing now? And like, it's like that doing thing. You have to do something to justify your presence, your being. And it's like, this is so fucked. And you're like, it is very conditioned.
As well, like, I looked at your profile the other day and I think your bio is like, hi.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah, because I was like, yes, you're not, you know, I got me reflecting on mine as well, as it's like, you know, we really define ourselves by this, I don't know how many characters it is, but
yes.
That somehow gives you validation in the world that you are important because you can do blah, 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 you have X amount of followers, whatever. But, you know, I think that the real gift and joy in it all is, how can you just practice being? And, yeah, if the world does completely implode, then I've got enough rice and dal to last the apocalypse. We've been
horny. My girl. But it is true, isn't it? Like, it is like a constant self-promotion.
Yeah.
And you're bombarded with it every day, and it's like people either selling themselves or a product in some form.
And the comparison. So
you kind of need to strip back. Like, strip it back. And that's where things get ugly and gritty. But that's
where that's where growth and also where happiness really lives, because – literally, you're not going to be on your deathbed going, God, I wish I had a few more thousand Instagram followers.
Exactly.
You know, it's really
You always hear those, like, you watch those videos. And like, you know, I just wish I told my daughter that I loved her more.
I wish I spent more time with my family. I wish
exactly. This is what it always comes back to.
Yeah. And so here you are doing exactly that, spending more time with your family.
Oh my God.
Are you on a retreat center? Is there a retreat situation?
Not yet, but it's going to happen.
I love that.
It's going to happen. We might get a yurt first and have like a little Airbnb situation. And then, yeah, down the track, there's definitely going to be yoga retreats or you name it.
I'm into it.
Mm-hmm. You can be the first yoga teacher to come.
You heard it here first.
Yes.
If I'm ever allowed into the country.
Yeah, it'll be like 2053.
Yeah, 2053. We're doing
it. I can't wait to see you again.
Sign up. Put your emails below.
Oh, my God. Oh, if you don't laugh, you cry.
Oh, I know. Seriously. Well, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story of I guess, how you rejoined the flow, you know.
Yeah.
That's what I really want to share through these chats is just like real people stories of finding alignment, you know, because I'm sure at a point in your career you felt really aligned and it was like exactly where you needed to be, and then realizing that changes. And I think that's the, you know, one thing that we've really uncovered through this chat is like that non-rigid attachment, because we evolve, you know. What is it, we're supposed to have like 7 careers or whatever in our generation's lifetime or whatever, but we struggle to let go of the identity that we attach to each of the things. And I think the real way of living in flow is just to be so unrigidly attached to what it looks like and allow that innate intelligence to guide you to where you need to be, because ultimately we want to be happy. We don't need fame and success to be happy.
I think we have an obsession with feeling safe and secure and comfortable, and what I've learned is when you get out of that comfort zone is where you learn the most. So I'd encourage you, if you're sitting in a place which feels safe and life is just ticking along, but there's something more inside, explore that. Because more often than not, there's a reason why you're hearing that message.
Yeah. Learn to meditate, get some oracle cards.
Do it, man.
I think you always talk about yourself as being this like closet spirituality person.
Oh, 100%. Not anymore, though. She's coming out, man.
She's really come out, you know. She's out and proud.
Well, she's in this, like, transition period. She's like, okay, how much do I go? Do we just put a little bit out?
The next Instagram post will be like, come to my yurt for a plant medicine ceremony with
I might look crazy, but I'll be happy.
I'm into it. I'm really into it. All right, thank you so much for your time today, my friend.
Thanks, yeah.
I'll post your Insta and stuff below so people can follow along as your journey continues to unfold. It's actually really, really exciting just to kind of be open to what's going to
happen. Well, I know, I was thinking, I'm just so excited to see what happens in the next few months.
Yeah.
You know, like, bring on the unknown.
Yeah, amazing attitude.
Mwah! Lots of love.
Thank you. Thank you all so much for lending me your ears today. I hope you enjoyed that chat between Polly and I, and that perhaps it's inspired you to reflect upon where it is in your life that you are or aren't living into alignment with your ultimate soul's calling. As always, if you liked the podcast, please share it on your socials. And if you have just a couple of minutes to leave me a review and a rating, that would be much appreciated. I hope you have a beautiful day, and I'll see you next week.